Hello and welcome to the Balanced Wealth Podcast. My name is Gavin DeStacy, and today we're going to talk about the new simplified FAFSA. For those of you who aren't familiar, the FAFSA is the free application for federal student aid. And as the name implies, it's the main application used to apply for federal financial aid for students going to college. In addition to being used by colleges to determine eligibility for federal financial aid, the FAFSA form is also used by some states, as well as by some colleges and universities to determine your eligibility for their grants, scholarships, and loans. Now there's another profile called CSS, which you fill out through the College Board website, required by many colleges and universities, mainly private, but also some public, that you'll need to complete as well if your student is interested in aid directly from the school and they require it. But that's a topic for another day, as are my feelings about how ridiculous it is to have to pay $15 to $25 for each school you send the CSS profile to just to apply for financial aid, but I digress. Anyhow, back to the FAFSA, and the major news for this year is the long overdue redesign that was just rolled out. The FAFSA Simplification Act, passed by Congress in 2020, allowed for the first major redesign of the FAFSA process in over 40 years, and it represents a significant overhaul of federal student aid, including changes to the FAFSA form, needs analysis, storage of federal student aid application data, and many policies and procedures for schools that participate in Title IX programs. The much-heralded redesign has been hotly anticipated, but has not arrived without its share of problems and delays. The new process was actually supposed to roll out in 2022, but was delayed a full year until 2023. Then, after it was finally released on December 31st of last year, many families still had complaints about accessing the form, though by now, most of those issues seem to have been resolved. Still, there appear to be more problems on the back end, with the Department of Education saying recently that due to a new glitch they need to fix, they'll not be able to transmit data to schools until mid-March, a full 2 months later than planned. Because colleges will need weeks to load the data, test systems, and begin to generate aid offers, students may not know what aid they're in line for until April, leaving them little time to weigh their options before college decision day on May 1st, which is the traditional deadline at many schools to accept admission offers. Still, the new FAFSA represents a significant upgrade to the old system, assuming they get the glitches worked out. As someone who's gone through the process in both the old system and just recently in the new one, I figured it would be a good idea to relate my experiences and what I believe to be the key improvements that have been made. A few years ago, after my son had applied to college and we went through the FAFSA process for the first time, I produced a podcast about it and pointed out some of the major pain points we experienced. The gist of it was that even for someone as experienced as I am in financial forms and data gathering, the FAFSA represented what, to many, must have seemed like an impossible task. If it proved frustrating to me, then for those who don't spend all day, every day, sifting through financial forms and data, it must have been simply rage-inducing. And to hear some of the horror stories from years past, it seems that was definitely the case. The length of the form, the information they required, and the way it was presented and requested all made for a challenging process, to say the least. But now, with this redesign, comes the promise of a simpler, more streamlined process with a much shorter form, less questions, and an enhanced data sharing process with the IRS to simplify the applicant experience. So here's the million-dollar question. Did it deliver? In a word, yes. The process, as advertised, was simpler, shorter, and had less questions than before. And assuming it works, the sharing process with the IRS was significantly easier. See, on the old form, there was the ability to grab tax forms directly from the IRS, but the way it was done was problematic. You essentially had to link from the form to the IRS, and then your forms would be uploaded to the FAFSA form. But the link often failed, and that's what happened to me. The first year I completed the form, the link actually worked, and that saved me some time for sure. But the next year, when I went to complete the upload, it failed and simply wouldn't work. When that happened, I was required to input all of the tax information manually, and that was terrible. This time around, I simply checked a box granting permission for the FAFSA to access my IRS records, and the form just moved on. I have no idea if that will work on the back end, which is why I said, assuming it works, but I'm going to remain optimistic about that one. One thing I think it's important to know about the new form is that it's actually designed to be completed by the student, not the parents. That struck me as odd at first because I don't know about your family, but in mine, asking our kids to complete a questionnaire about the family finances, and in some detail I might add, will likely get you an eye roll at best. It makes some sense, though, if you think about it. There's plenty of kids out there who are on their own when it comes to applying for college, and better to have the process allow them to make it happen for themselves if they need to, rather than make them reliant on their parents, who might not be willing or able to make it happen for them. And although it's designed for the student to complete themselves, it's also adaptable to the helicopter parents out there like us who do make it happen for our kids. As a parent, you can start the application by starting a new form or accessing an existing one, and it asks if you're the student or the parent. If you're the parent, after you've completed the parent section, it automatically goes to the student for them to complete the rest. Granted, a couple of the financial questions on the student section were not things that my daughter knew without me helping out, but we did it together in about 5 minutes, and she was able to include up to 20 schools to receive the form at the end. All in all, the process did indeed seem to be quite streamlined and significantly easier than the last time I completed it, so I'm optimistic about the changes and what that means for parents going forward. There are obviously still some kinks to work out on the back end, and I suppose the rubber will meet the road in a few months when schools start to receive the data, but for now, the new FAFSA seems like a significant improvement to the old. Opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. This program should not be construed as financial, legal, or estate planning advice. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Please remember, investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital, and seek advice from a licensed professional. Topel & DeStossi Wealth Management, LLC is a registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Topel & DeStossi Wealth Management, LLC and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Topel & DeStossi Wealth Management, LLC unless a client service agreement is in place.